In the name of the one who died, was raised, and dies no more. Amen. There is a podcast out right now, and I'm a bit of a podcast junkie. It's called S-Town. It's a peculiar and wonderful meander through the life of one eccentric man in small town Alabama. There are twists and turns around this guy, who is an antique clock restorer and a master gardener. Before he died, his property spanned 140 acres, and it contained within it a lovingly built nine-circuit hedgerow maze. Do you know what those are? Like the little garden paths you have to go through to find your way to the center? And in that hedgerow maze of those nine circuits, there were gates that you could flip and switch. So if you flipped and switched these gates, you could get up to 64 different patterns to find your way to the center. This man, John McLemore, saw this maze as one of his greatest accomplishments. His pride of craftsmanship was only matched by a lament. He was afraid that when he died, there would be no one to take care of his maze. And he was correct. Since John died, this cloistered garden has fallen into disrepair. And for it to be restored to its former glory, its current owner says that it needs a master gardener to restore it. The Bible is full of gardeners and gardens, full of gardens that flourish and gardens that fail, people who flourish and people who fail. You cannot hardly get through a book of the Bible without some story of a neglectful caretaker and people in desperate need of somebody with a green thumb to restore them to their former glory. In fact, the very first story of Scripture has all the drama. God made a good creation in the beginning. And He made this good creation and He made us. And after He dug us out of the ground and breathed life into us, He placed us into a garden. You know the story. It went well for a little bit, and then it went south pretty quickly. Adam and Eve were made from the earth and placed in Eden by this gardener, but they didn't stay there very long. Now, this is a personal opinion, but I do not think that God made the world so that we could screw up, and then He could later chastise us. He made the world, He made us, simply because it gave Him pleasure. Gave Him pleasure to make a beautiful world and people built and designed to love Him. This little earth we live on is the only thing that we know, but God's love is far more than anything we could imagine. It simply pleased God to make the world and to have His people give Him praise. And even today, I believe we were made to enjoy our Eden home. Now it's a home with lots of faults and foibles, lots of gardens that have fallen into disrepair. But that does not let us go of the responsibility to love God and to love the world that He has made. Our world, like John B. McLemore's garden, is in desperate need of a good gardener in Jesus. On this Easter Sunday, I don't plan on hammering you with 15 different verses why you should believe that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. Those are good scriptures. I have included in your bulletin, if you would like to follow that garden path, some sermon notes for your further study. But if you look at the gospel story in John today, it is a garden path full of Easter eggs to pick up, if only you would do it. You see, I think there are these profound connections, both in the gospel of John, back to Genesis, back to gardens, because the Bible is full of stories of gardens. The first verses of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. This first chapter of John was not an accident. It was explicitly connected to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So in case you are not into subtlety, John is not into subtlety either. Jesus was there at the beginning. Jesus made the world, and Jesus continues to reshape and remake the world today. So that's the big, huge, cosmic stuff of John. But then he likes to reinforce this big, huge, cosmic story with little, tiny Easter eggs. The end of John has a small garden. The resurrected Jesus was also betrayed in this garden. He was buried in this garden, and he returned to this garden. And who he decides to show himself to was neither not John and not Peter, because they might be able to run fast, but they were not chosen to hear that first message from Jesus. I think this is also meant to be explicit for those who hear it. In Genesis chapter 2, Adam and Eve were put into a garden. And by chapter 3, they lost their commission and were on their way outside of the garden. But John wants you to hear that this is a new Eden, that Mary finds herself in a new garden, and that Jesus returns to this garden, and instead of kicking the disciples, instead of kicking Mary out, he sends them forth with a commission. So Adam and Eve lost it, Mary and the disciples get it. And they go out, and it's their job to be the green thumbs for the world to hear the story about Jesus who was raised from the dead. That's our job, too. Mary, in this garden, the only thing she had to do was to love her Lord and to share the story of that love. I think that's a good commission for us. We get to love our Lord. We get to enjoy him both now and forever, and we get to spread the message that God has a green thumb and he loves gardens to flourish and he loves for his people to flourish. This one in Jesus, who we celebrate on Easter morning, takes up residence in our own gardens. Now, if you're like me, you see the world, you see the gardens about you desperately in need of a master gardener. Well, that's Jesus. And we are his emissaries. We get to bring the fertilizer, we get to bring the seeds, and we get to bring the water to these places that so need the touch of life. Jesus is our ultimate gardener for both our individual lives and for this world. Jesus, in the big cosmic John sense, is the one who birthed the suns and scattered them like sands about the galaxy. This Jesus is the one who spins our planet in its orbit and the one who even took the time to breathe life into his friends. This Jesus is the one who would lay down his life for his friends so they may enjoy him and the garden that he has made for them, for us. So forgive me for grinding this a little too fine, but I just, in case you want to be hit over the head with a mallet, here you go. Jesus is God, and Jesus is the Creator. Jesus was dead, and now Jesus is alive. Jesus is the gardener, and Jesus is our friend and Messiah. So that's the big story in the small story. The Easter egg contains the whole story of creation. The Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus showed up to Mary, and the Garden of Eden are the exact same stage where God continues to love his people and to fix the messes that we so often make. Day one of our own Easter ministry, day one of spreading the gospel, starts today. I want you to enjoy the Garden of Gethsemane, the Garden of Eden that we celebrate here in this place. It is beautiful. It's got lilies and brass and kids and eggs and all that wonderful stuff. But at the end of the day, the reason we are here is to enjoy God. to love Him, to worship Him, and to then go out and make other gardens for people to flourish. My prayer is the story continues in each of us, that we can give praise to the conqueror of death and despair, the one in Jesus who is our destiny and hope. So let's live our lives. Let's love the Lord, because we know, I know, that Jesus is not going to stop until all the weeds of our gardens are gone. He is not going to stop until the trees, the plants, animals, oceans, and us are flourishing like a well-watered garden. Flourishing so much that they are capable of giving praise to the one who made them and loving them with their whole hearts and whole minds. The gardener is risen. Our Creator is risen indeed. Amen.
Amen.